today's episode of Zen Founder, Sherry sits down with Dr. Michael Freeman. He is a clinical professor of psychiatry at the UC San Francisco School of Medicine, and he has embarked on an entrepreneurial research study with some colleagues from UCSF and UC Berkeley. It's called Are Entrepreneurs Touched with Fire? And it talks about the prevalence of mental health conditions in founders. It's a very interesting report and an interesting conversation. As you listen to this episode, if you feel like there are some things that you want to work through and you might need someone to help bounce ideas off of, bounce thoughts off of, essentially get some advice and some coaching, Sherry has some limited availability to consult with founders or even founders and their spouses or founders and their co-founders as they try to work through issues. So if you feel like you're maybe at an inflection point and you're trying to figure out which way to go or a decision point, it might be a good idea to think about scheduling a couple hours to talk to Sherry about it. You can contact her via email at Sherry, that's S-H-E-R-R-Y, at zenfounder.com.
We plan to talk through the issues faced by startup founders and the people close to them.
Overused phrase, work-life balance.
It is an amazingly focusing time.
This is what we do, you know, aside from our families, this is our whole work life.
I am also known as Dr. Wine.
You know, this is a little bit non-traditional.
A little more zen in the startup life.
Zen founder.
Those days were a mental struggle.
I have been stressed in the past, and I know that I will be in the future.
A founder and his or her significant other will both get value from the episode.
You're a physician, but you're also an entrepreneur. So what kind of entrepreneurial endeavors are you involved with?
First of all, I'm on the faculty of the Department of Psychiatry at UC San Francisco, and I am a psychiatrist, and I have a regular psychiatric practice. But then second, related to the entrepreneurship, UC San Francisco, it's a kind of a world-class medical center, and they have an incubator called the Entrepreneurship Center at UCSF that launches digital health and biotech companies, maybe 10, 15, 20 of them every year. And I am a mentor in that accelerator. So I help entrepreneurs get their early stage companies to the point where they can go out for funding. And then I also have founded and co-founded a number of companies myself and been a C-level in various companies all within healthcare. The current one I'm involved with is called Trigger Health, T-R-I-G-G-R, and it's a mobile platform to help people with drug and alcohol problems maintain their sobriety.
Fantastic.
So I have experience as an entrepreneur, as a CEO, as a mentor, as an executive coach. I work with entrepreneurs, probably have 10 or 20 entrepreneurs that I'm coaching at any one time, typically early stage founders. And so I have this kind of broad perspective on entrepreneurship and mental health. And then with respect to the mental health piece of it, I'm also a researcher and with some colleagues in Northern California have done research on the mental health characteristics of entrepreneurs, which we have found to be very interesting and more prevalent than you might expect. And our research team is about to replicate our initial study on that. So hopefully by the end of 2016, we should even have better data than we currently have.
Oh, fantastic. So the first round of your study looked at, was it 242 entrepreneurs and then a comparison group of 93?
Correct.
And you were looking at rates of mental health conditions among entrepreneurs and then among their family members.
That is correct, yes. And we found that 49% of the entrepreneurs reported a history of one or more mental health conditions, which is about double what you would find in a normal population. And that the majority of those entrepreneurs had two or more mental health conditions. So these are people with, you know, lifetime history of some of the more common conditions. We found the most common ones to be depression. About 30% of the entrepreneurs in our sample reported depression. And ADHD was very common. 29% reported ADHD. And we also found elevated rates of drug and alcohol use and bipolar disorder. The bipolar was about 11 or 12%, which would be about three or four times greater than you would find in a standard population. The other interesting thing is that while half of the entrepreneurs did not report any mental health conditions, it turns out that their family members are very affected by mental health problems. So about 3/4 of the entrepreneurs that did not report any mental health issues in their own experience told us that their family members had typically among their family multiple co-occurring conditions, the same kind of conditions that the other entrepreneurs told us about. So that it's very interesting finding all the way across the board. It means to me that if you're an entrepreneur and if you either have a mental health issue or come from a family with a lot of mental health issues, you're perfectly normal. That's what entrepreneurs are like.
That's not exceptional at all.
Right. That is the rule, not the exception.
Did that surprise you?
Yes, it did. I was expecting to find some of that based on my own experience as an entrepreneur. In one of the companies I founded, I was the, you know, co-founder and CEO, and all of our customers were CEOs of other companies, many of them founders. And I noticed that just because I'm a psychiatrist, I'm kind of trained in how to recognize these things, I noticed a higher incidence than I would have expected, particularly of people with bipolar disorders. So when I got involved in this originally, I was curious to find out if people in the bipolar spectrum might be more likely to be entrepreneurs, which kind of makes sense because of the energy and the motivation and the charisma and the creativity and so on. So that's what I was trying to determine originally. And what came out of the research was that, in fact, yes, bipolar entrepreneurs are pretty highly represented in the sample, like I said, about 3 or 4 times more than you would find in a general population. But there is even a greater incidence of ADHD, depression, and substance use. So that I was surprised to find that just sort of across the board, all different kinds of mental health issues were common with the entrepreneurs.
One thing that really surprised me about your study was the lack of difference between entrepreneurs and your control group in rates of anxiety. Did that surprise you as well, or how do you make sense of that?
It did, yes. Yes, we found that the entrepreneurs and the comparison participants both had high levels of anxiety. And so, therefore, there was really no distinction between the two of them. We couldn't say that entrepreneurs were any more anxious than anybody else, at least in this sample. And for now, I just take that to mean that everybody has something to worry about and that we live in an age of anxiety. And we will be finding out, we'll look into that in greater detail in our replication study later this year. But that's our initial findings, that they did not differentiate on that particular issue.
Okay. Well, that will be interesting to see whether you have a more nuanced understanding of how that took place when you have a little bit more data or a replication study.
Exactly. And in the replication study, we will have 1,000 entrepreneurs this time and a comparison population of 1,000 people as well. So we should have more valid data at the end of it.
And if I'm remembering correctly, your comparison group in this initial study was a little bit younger than the entrepreneurial group. Am I remembering that correctly?
It was a little bit younger, yes. The comparison group in the initial study consisted of faculty members and MBA students at a university business school, as well as some undergraduates. So the age range was a little bit younger, and they were pretty similar in terms of other characteristics, gender, level of education, and so on. But in the next go around, the comparison group will be much larger and more accurately matched. We should be able to match the comparison group to the sector of the economy in which the entrepreneurs are active, so we can compare technology executives with technology entrepreneurs, for example.
So as you think about the implications of this project, how is what you learned in this study shaping the way that you mentor entrepreneurs who are beginning their careers?
The interesting aspect of it has to do with improving executive performance and mentoring or coaching entrepreneurs is not the mental health conditions per se, but it's more the personality traits that are associated with the mental health conditions. So, for example, people in the bipolar spectrum tend to be more extroverted and tend to be more gregarious and more creative and better communicators and more open-minded and greater levels of curiosity. So these are personality traits that facilitate entrepreneurship. The reverse is also true, that there are maybe some personality traits that could undermine business formation, such as impulsivity, making reckless or choices that have not been fully considered. So to answer your question from a mentoring and coaching point of view, to me, the important issue becomes, what are the traits in your personality that are the keys to your success as an entrepreneur? What strengths do you bring to this that uniquely empower you to be more successful? And by contrast, what are the risk factors and vulnerabilities that could undermine your success? And then once you can be clear about that, it's possible to start identifying ways to maximize the entrepreneur's ability to play their strong cards and use their particular strengths, and also to manage risks and vulnerabilities. Obviously, if someone has a mental health condition where they're like truly symptomatic, I mean, if you're like deeply depressed, then as an advisor, you have to encourage them to get mental health treatment. So I would always do that if it's clear that there's more extreme mental health condition taking place. But in terms of executive performance, identifying the related personality traits has been the key to being effective for me.
Because as you're identifying, many of these conditions function kind of on a spectrum. Like some people can be affected, but still very functional and have great capacity to, as you said, have a lot of energy and get a lot of work done. So it's sort of helping to distinguish between where a condition becomes an impairment versus where that condition can actually be a source of strength or a unique quality that helps to bring a competitive edge even to an entrepreneur's performance.
Yes, that's accurate. That all of these mental health conditions are on a spectrum that typically, if you have any mental health condition, it can be mild, moderate, or severe. And the more severe it is, the more of an impairment it becomes and the more it needs to be treated. But just because an entrepreneur is severely mentally ill, that doesn't mean that they can't be a great entrepreneur. For example, I'm remembering one entrepreneur I worked with who has bipolar 1 disorder, which is a severe form of bipolar disorder. And she told me lots of stories about being able to function very effectively while she was having psychotic episodes with auditory and visual hallucinations and delusions at the same time and still really performing well. So she, of course, was very aware that she was psychotic and she had some strategies to manage it. But nonetheless, the point being that it's completely possible to have more severe forms of these mental health conditions and be a successful entrepreneur at the same time.
It's not a rule out.
It's not a rule out. Just because you have the world's biggest case of ADD and you are easily distracted and forgetful and disorganized, you can still be an effective entrepreneur as long as you can figure out some ways to manage around it. And as long as you're honest about what you're dealing with and then take responsibility for not letting it interfere with the functioning of your business.
That kind of leads me to my next question, and that is, what do you wish entrepreneurs knew about mental health? You know, I think you're talking around some of these things, certainly, that you are an advocate of realizing that having one of these conditions or more than one condition really doesn't preclude someone from being effective in their work. But what would you like to put out there in the world to entrepreneurs about the importance of mental health care?
I think the main message would be that there's nothing to be ashamed about, and there's no reason to feel a stigma associated with mental health differences. They are very common, and they confer strengths as well as vulnerabilities. And to the extent that they are severe enough that treatment is required, very good treatment is now available for most conditions with really good outcomes. So overcoming shame and stigma would be, I think, the first message, and helping people take the first step in asking for help if a mental health condition is causing personal problems or problems for loved ones and friends and family. I think it would be great if entrepreneurs could just take some simple screening instruments and find out whether or not they have mental health issues, and if so, you know, act accordingly. And then to the extent that that's true, my wish would be that there are resources available both to help entrepreneurs navigate their way in the mental health kinds of treatment and therapy if they need it, and also identify their strengths that they should be trying to build upon if they do have these personality traits. So, for example, if you are someone who has ADHD or is in the bipolar spectrum and consequently tends to be talkative and gregarious and social and outgoing, you're more likely to have a strength in developing social networks, social capital, marketing, business development, lead identification, opportunity recognition, and all of your mentoring and coaching should be focused on how to make that your job and delegate, by contrast, the things that you're not likely to be more successful at.
So playing to your strengths.
Know what your strengths are and play into them, yes.
What do you wish mental health professionals knew about entrepreneurs? Maybe this is a selfish question, but I've had lots of conversations with entrepreneurs in the context of this podcast and other places where they've just been so frustrated by some of the ways that mental health care is delivered currently. It's inconvenient. It requires phone calls. Are there things that you've observed that you wish that mental health professionals maybe could do better to serve entrepreneurs?
I think the answer is yes. Mental health professionals are not trained about entrepreneurship and don't typically have experience with business other than being self-employed. A lot of mental health professionals are self-employed, and so in that sense, they have that kind of experience. But the typical training of mental health professionals is such that they are most comfortable providing therapy in their office on a regular schedule. And it's almost impossible for entrepreneurs to commit to being anywhere at a regular time. And so I think it would be great if mental health professionals could develop more flexibility in the way that they approach entrepreneurs and be able to accommodate the kinds of lives that entrepreneurs actually live. So, for example, in my work with entrepreneurs, I never have a plan for when we're going to meet. So when I do meet with somebody at the end of the session, we'll schedule a next appointment, and that's about as much as I know about the future of my relationship with that entrepreneur. And it works, because they can figure out their schedule the next couple weeks in advance, and beyond that, they have no idea.
So it's much more fluid than the 50-minute therapy session at the same time every week.
That's not going to work, right? And staying focused on a limited number of main issues, both in terms of mental health therapy and as it pertains to work and relationships with loved ones, is also important, because the amount of time that a mental health therapist is going to have is limited compared with other kinds of patients. So if someone is impulsive, then you're going to be able to focus on a few dimensions of impulsivity that are most likely to cause the greatest harm rather than explore that in great depth. And I think teaching skills becomes important in that regard, and easy skills that can be implemented, you know, quickly.
So short-term, practical, flexible.
Tactical, yes. I'm available through telepsychiatry. There are a variety of HIPAA-compliant telemedicine platforms that therapists can now use to be able to meet virtually rather than interrupt the schedule of these entrepreneurs to get into your office. That's more likely to succeed in some instances. So a little bit of a different approach makes it much more practical for entrepreneurs to actually participate in this kind of a practice.
And I think that's helpful too for entrepreneurs to hear that these are some of the things that they might ask for if they are thinking about seeking therapy services or some kind of other mental health care, to know that these things are possible. And if the person you're calling doesn't offer this kind of flexibility, then maybe there's someone else who will. So,
yeah.
I wanted to circle back to the topic of family and the part of your data that looked at the fact that even among entrepreneurs who are not themselves experiencing significant mental health concerns, that many of them are in families where, you said 75% or three quarters of them are in families where there are significant mental health concerns.
Yes.
What do you make of that? What do you think is going on there?
What we think is going on is that mental health conditions are the more extreme end of temperament, and that entrepreneurs who don't have mental health conditions probably have the temperament and the traits that are associated at the more extreme end with the mental health conditions. So as a very example, easy example, think about obsessive compulsive disorder. It's associated with cleaning and double checking and perfectionism and arranging things and orderliness and having difficulty getting rid of stuff, hoarding. So if someone has obsessive compulsive disorders, they have all those symptoms. But other people may have a family where family members have OCD, but they don't. Nonetheless, they could still be detail-oriented. They could still prefer things to be organized. They could still like stuff to get done and be finished. So they have some of the traits associated with the OCD, whereas their family members have the full-blown condition. So we think it's like that with all of these other mental health conditions as well, that the family members have the full-blown mental health condition and the entrepreneurs have many of the traits that are associated with the condition, but not the condition itself. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense to me.
Okay.
Yes. Sorry, my awkward pause there. I'm formulating my next question. So entrepreneurs may have inherited less severe or less toward the end of the spectrum kind of characteristics that may be consistent with some of these mental health conditions that exist in their families.
Yes, but they may still have some of the traits. Like somebody who has relatives with manic depressive illness, you know, more extreme bipolar disorder, may not have that condition, but they are still highly motivated and they're creative and they're gregarious and they're high achievers. That's been demonstrated over and over again in research on bipolar disorder. So they have the traits, but not the condition.
What are your thoughts about some of the strengths or the maybe benefits toward entrepreneurs who are working with depression? Because that doesn't traditionally go along with a lot of energy or activity or productivity. How have you seen depression be even an asset or something that helps entrepreneurs in their work?
There's been some research on that that has found that people with depression, leaders in particular with depression, have a greater capacity for empathy. And as a result of that, people resonate with them and people relate to them. And so they can have a greater sense of connection with customers, suppliers, staff, and investors. And it's easy to see examples of that in the political arena, where Abraham Lincoln, for example, or Mahatma Gandhi were these hugely powerful and effective political leaders whose depressions, deep depressions, were part of what made them effective as leaders. Another aspect of it that's been discussed in the literature is that people with depression often have adversity in childhood, early life circumstances that are challenging in some way, and that having that kind of adversity in childhood confers some type of vulnerability to adversity later in life. In other words, they have developed coping skills and a way of processing and managing adversity that enables them to tolerate stress more effectively when they encounter it later in adulthood. So those are some of the ways that people have thought about depression that may be related to that particular finding. The other thing that is really worth remembering about depression is that most entrepreneurs fail. The statistics are a little vague about that, but typically studies find that about 5 out of 6 entrepreneurs or businesses fail within 5 years. And of the businesses that are backed by venture capital companies, which you would expect to have greater likelihood of success for a variety of reasons, 4 out of 5 of those companies fail. So by and large, entrepreneurs fail, and that can be depressing. And so it's possible that that depression result that we found relates to the natural life history of being an entrepreneur.
That there's some aspects of entrepreneurship that
are depressing.
Obviously are very,
yeah,
very hard. And there's some grief and loss and sadness that goes along with
exactly
these experiences.
Exactly. Now, if you ask entrepreneurs whether or not they're aware of the likelihood of failure in new business launches, they pretty much know that the odds are against them. They pretty much know that the odds are extremely against them. But if you ask them why they're, under those circumstances, why they're going ahead with it, the typical answer is that 4 out of 5 of these businesses are going to fail. I'm the one that's going to succeed. And they have a lot of confidence that they're going to succeed. And again, that's part of the personality trait of entrepreneurs that kind of takes them in this direction, optimism and confidence.
So based on your experience and your work in this initial research study, what are some of the questions or curiosities that you have about entrepreneurs moving forward? I know you're planning a second study, a bigger study. What kinds of questions are you curious about at this point?
We would like to discover in our next study 2 things. One is, what is the nature of the relationship between mental health and entrepreneurial outcomes? In our first study, we discovered that there is a high incidence of mental health conditions among entrepreneurs. What we don't know is, does that improve their odds of success, or does that reduce their odds of success, or somewhere in between? And if so, what combination of ingredients is more likely to be associated with success? So that general area is something that we'd like to explore. Then the other thing that we're interested in is super entrepreneurs, particularly from the perspective of job growth. Some recent research has indicated, this is based on Bureau of Labor Statistics data, it's indicated that something like 11% of entrepreneurs create 30% of all jobs. That may not be exactly accurate, but it's something to that effect. Not all entrepreneurs are the job creators. Now, entrepreneurs in general are job creators, and something like 4 out of 5 new jobs are produced by small businesses as opposed to large businesses. So entrepreneurs are very essential to the economy as it pertains to creating prosperity and creating jobs. But among the entrepreneurs, some of them create more jobs than others. And so we'd like to take a look at that group of super entrepreneurs to find out what is the nature of the entrepreneurs who create the most jobs, and are they in any way different, and particularly from a mental health perspective, than the entrepreneurs who have less than 20 employees is the kind of criterion used in this research.
Well, those are really interesting questions. For people who are listening who are maybe interested in finding out more about your work or getting in touch with you about coaching or clinical consultation, what's the best way for people to get in touch with you?
I have a website that I don't particularly put a lot of energy into maintaining, but nonetheless, if people go to my website, they can download the research reports and just read it for themselves. And my email address is on the website as well. And it's very simple, www.michaelafreemanmdmyname.com. So michaelafreemanmd1big word.com. And research reports are available there, as well as other resources and email, phone number. I'm pretty easy to reach.
I know. I found you.
Right.
And we can put a link in the show notes too, so people can find it easily.
Great.
Well, thanks so much for talking with me. Any last things that you want to say on the podcast while we're still live here?
No, I think you asked a lot of great questions, and hopefully it will be a kind of an introduction to thinking about some of these issues for entrepreneurs. But as we just said, I'm available. I get emails from entrepreneurs all the time, and I try to be accessible. So happy to answer questions offline as well.
Well, thanks so much. Thanks for listening to this episode of Zen Founder. Our theme song is A New Beginning by bensound.com, used under Creative Commons.